Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
We will resume play and conduct the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs. In two hub cities, 24 of our 31 teams will resume play. And this plan will produce a worthy Stanley Cup champion.
Dumbass. Dale Arnold.
Either you see somebody who is making $8 million to play a game for a few months at a time, or you see a guy who just got asked to take an 80% pay cut.
Play for the love of the game.
Bro, I'm risking my life.
Rich Keith.
Mutt here.
And here's a pig who did better on the Wonderlic than Mutt did.
Let's do a quick check, shall we?
Sit again, patio.
Dale and Keith with Wiggy.
You're giving me these options of eating poop. Get off the pot or you drop the deuce.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Jermaine Wiggins is in the house. Mutt's in the house. Rich is off this week. He'll be back next week. I think Wiggy's back tomorrow with Mutt. And then I think Andy Hart's in Friday with Mutt. I think
correct.
I got that right. Sometimes the schedules get a little confusing to me. I want to take one more run at this, and then we'll you know, get back to you guys as well. So technically, Wiggy, let's say Entercom comes to me in the middle of all of this. And they say, we want you to take a pay cut for a little while. You know, the economics have changed here.
Right.
Now, you've got a contract.
Right.
We can't make you do this.
Right.
But we're trying also to not get rid of some other people in the building. We're trying to keep this thing going as best we can. Should I just say, hey, I got a contract, pal. I get mine.
Well, you don't have a union, right? So
No, but I have a contract.
Right. You have a contract, but in your contract, it does say that they can fire you for just cause.
Well, they can't fire you for not taking a pay cut.
No, I'm not
saying.
I'm not saying the pay.
But they could use that against you.
Not taking the pay cut as just cause, but they can always spin it and find something. Well, this is just cause, right? They can let you go. They could come to you and say, "Well, the ratings are not that good," and that could be the reason why they let you go. So, and,
or you could also say, "You know what? It is different.
Yeah,
the world is different.
Yes,
you know, I don't want them to have to lay off." Producers or or sales executives. Or
right.
If I can do my part to help out here, I want to do that. I want to help out.
Yeah, you could do that. You could easily do that. But there are people who don't do that, who don't want to do that. And we're seeing in Major League Baseball. There are guys.
And I probably have a problem with people who just say, nope, not interested.
So why can't
I get the Blake Snell route? I get mine.
Yeah, but you're upset because of the way he said it.
Well,
that's why
I'm
you're
upset with what he said, too.
Wiggy, can I say I'm upset because I think he lied? If you go back to that large rant he played.
Right.
Where he played the
way
I'm scared of the Rona.
Right.
I'm scared of coronavirus. I might kill people. He's he instead of saying what he really feels, which is I want to get paid, and he kind of says that, he uses the fear of it as a weapon and say, oh, I'm scared of getting it. When we don't believe that, that's the part that bothers me.
Right,
just be honest
about it. That's the way, it's the way he went about it and said it, right? If he said, you know what, I don't want to take, you know, they asked me, initially we agreed upon one thing, and then they reneged on that, and now they're asking me to take, you know, a 50 or 60% pay cut, which, you know, hey, I got a lot of things going on, and I got to support and bills and this, that, and the other. I just can't afford to do that. Or I don't want to do that.
I just keep saying the afford part. Like, to me, it's not about these guys paying bills. It's about the perception of, I'm not going to let the owners get okay. one over on me.
There you go. If that's the that's way it. You want to go about it, then go about it that way. And that's the difference, right? So if Dale, you could easily said, you know what? No, I don't want to take that percentage pay cut. If you felt like it was too much, you know, you might.
Sure. I mean, I didn't, under the circumstances I just explained, I wouldn't have to take anything. I got a contract. Pay me, man.
Right. Right, but they probably came to you and they said, here, we need you to take a pay cut that wasn't so extreme. If EEI came to you and said, Dale, we want you to take a 60% pay cut, I'm willing to bet you'd probably go, I want you to honor my contract.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to. I couldn't afford to take a 60% pay cut, but I'm not making $37 million a year.
But, see, I think that's where the regular people always look and go, well, I'm not making $30 million a year. Well, Mike Trout, you think he's living like the same way we're living?
No, I'm sure he isn't, but I'm also thinking he doesn't need $37 million to keep that lifestyle afloat.
I mean, we see athletes all the time going broke.
I understand, so, and it's happened, let's try to get real here, okay?
But I am real, right?
Athletes Wiggy, he couldn't pay his bills if he didn't get his $37
million.
I don't know.
I don't know Mike Trout's financial situation, but we see athletes all the time run into financial problems, guys that are currently still playing, guys that have been out of the league. It's like you want to talk reality. That's the reality of
it. Well, the flip side is getting paid zero. What if so that player who can't live on the $5 million
right.
in the Wiggy world for a second,
right.
Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to take the pay cut, mm-hmm. I'm going to do it for the sport, and because you talk about the union, defending the union,
right.
I'm going to make sure my other union guys get paid, because if I'm Mike Trout and I stand up against this, it's a lot stronger message because I'm one of the biggest names in the sport. Instead of all that,
mm-hmm.
he's going to play for zero and say, I can't pay my bills, but I'll play for zero?
No.
If that's the option? You keep saying the option just don't play.
The option is he won't play till next year. He'll live.
He's not going to get paid for this season,
paid this year.
He's not getting paid
no,
this
I
year.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying
I thought
that
you said he was worried about paying his bills.
Maybe that is it, but he doesn't want to take – it's like somebody who somebody who makes $250,000, they get a $1,200 stimulus check, right? That's probably not really helping them that much.
Well, they shouldn't get it.
But all I'm saying is the fact of maybe that's the way Mike Trout is looking at $5 million. I don't know Mike Trout's financial situation. Maybe he just doesn't want to take a pay cut. Maybe he could pay his bills fine, and he's like, you know what? I'm not doing it, because it gives the owners the power back. I mean, there's a number of different things. All I'm saying is that these players are in a position where they don't want to take 50, 60, 70, 80% pay cuts.
Well, you tell me, Wiggy, because I was never part of a union, okay? So is it the responsibility of the higher-profile employees in a union, whether it's a football union, baseball mm-hmm. union, whatever, to sometimes have to stand up to make sure the other guys in their union are taken care of, so that Mike Trout, who's mm-hmm. making the $5 million this year,
right.
is taking a pay cut, but he's also making sure the guy making the $500,000 still has a job? Because if enough Mike Trouts say, screw this, I'm not doing it, it's not worth it, that means everybody doesn't get paid.
Well, no. I think
so what's the responsibility
The Mike Trouts of the union are the guys that really, at a lot of times, maybe sometimes, keep things together, right? Because they're able to get the money to where it is, right? So,
sure.
So they're able to get you to where you can make $37, $38, $40 million a year, right? They're able to get it to where minimum salary in baseball is $500,000. So sometimes you need those guys to say, you know what, hey, we're not doing this, because if we do, then we're giving up leverage as a union. And then now, not only will my numbers go down at the top of the mountain, but the person who's at the bottom of the mountain, guess what? Your numbers will go down.
Well, does the overall numbers go down next year, again, under your scenario where they come back and play next year?
Mm-hmm.
Do the numbers go down more if they have no baseball this year? Or at least some baseball.
See, I think you're talking about financially.
You're right. Maybe at some point it does circle back.
Right.
But for a year, there's no way.
Maybe
the
next year
salaries will be the same.
Maybe the next year it doesn't. Right. So maybe you see a lot more guys taking 1 year deals next year. But I think after that, they ultimately get back to guys like Mookie Betts will be making $30+ million a year as far as contracts.
It's a big risk.
617-779-7937. Matt's up in Maine. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
What's up, Matty?
I'm all right. Hey, listen, so you know who's got a lot more money than Mike Trout? Peter Angelos. When you own a business, you assume a lot of risk. And if for all these owners that are kind of clapping back, and, you know, you don't hear them, you know, personally, but for people that are clapping back about how much the players should all be taking such a big hit on this, if the owners, assuming the risk, don't want to pay the players the money that they worked out in their contracts already, they can go ahead and sell the team, because I guarantee you there's another super-duper billionaire out there that would gladly scoop up a professional sports team, knowing that any money they're going to recoup in just the next few years alone.
Right.
When you own a business, you assume the risk. And in, not just in sports, but a lot. Investors in this country have taken a lot of the risk out of it because they're getting bailouts. I don't want to get into that whole political side of it. But when you have the money, you assume the risk. And right now, I feel like we're kind of letting a lot of the owners skate on the risk in this. They signed contracts with a union. All of these owners have way, 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 way more money and can afford way bigger of a hit. And I know they didn't get to become billionaires by allowing that sort of thing to happen, by not mitigating that. But this is a situation where those things come into play. The owners have the risk. They should be assuming that risk. And they should be paying their players what they signed a contract to do. And then they're going to make their money back regardless. That's my take on that, guys. Thank you.
I do think, and thank you for the call, Matt. I appreciate it. I do think that, and obviously nobody could have predicted what was going to happen. I'm not suggesting that that's the case, but I'm looking at the latest projections. Major League Baseball expects to lose about $640,000 per game in an 82-game regular season in which those games are played without fans. And you know, it varies depending on the team. For instance, the Yankees would lose the most. They'd lose $300 million. In the absence of anything from the players, they lose $300 million just taking the fans out. The Red Sox obviously lose more money than Tampa Bay for Wiggy's term, or Baltimore. There is a huge difference economically in the game, and that was the example I used. If my employer comes to me and says, look, Dale, you see what's going on. I mean, you know, you got to help us out here. I could say, hey, I got a contract, pay me. But that's not being realistic, is it?
But see, you keep putting it at you.
I always try to personalize. Okay, so that people can put it in.
All right, so they come to you, Dale, and they say, we want you to take a 70% pay cut.
Well, I think, and I would immediately have to say, I can't afford 70% pay cut. But if I was making 37 million.
Right, but see, you keep moving the goalposts. Now you want to, you say.
Well, I don't make 37 million, Wiggy.
Okay.
If I make.
You don't?
But if we're putting it towards you, you say you want to make it to where, you know, maybe it'll be more real life for you, right? So, okay, they come to you and say, we want you to take a 45% pay cut deal.
Right. I just think that there are whatever the number is that you can afford, I understand it's different for everybody.
Right.
If I'm making $37 million and I don't know what the number is that's fair to ask Mike Trout to take for a pay cut, I'm not. I'm not trying to say that there is a number that I can say, oh, he should take a 37% pay cut.
No, you said he goes, he makes $37 million, so pretty much you're basically saying, well, he should be happy with taking 60 or 70%.
No one's happy.
No. Oh, he should do it because he makes $37 million. You're instantly, it's the whole.
But Wiggy, you don't understand he's in a better position to do that? But because of the finances?
By a lot.
No,
he's in a better position.
He makes more money.
Why
is it always the guy who makes more money has to get hit the hardest?
Well, in this case, they're trying to make it the most fair.
The guy who's making league minimum can't afford the same.
Right. I'm not saying you tax the guy who's making league minimum 80%. But what I'm saying, it's no different in the tax bracket worlds we live in and all this other stuff. Right. Mike Trout is fortunate enough to have been a good enough baseball player and worked his tail off to get to a certain status. Now, if you want to go to Mike Trout and say, okay, anybody who makes less than $5 million, you're getting hit with 5%. Anybody who makes more than $5 million, 15%.
So the issue for you isn't that they're whacking guys at various rates. It's you don't like the number that they.
Of course,
that they're talking
it's about. Yeah. I mean, you're asking
well,
the guy.
Well, wait a minute. You said earlier that it should be the same.
Well, if it's not the same and you want it to be something that's that works for everybody, if you like, I said, anybody under $5 million, you're getting hit with 5%. Anybody above it, 15%, and that's it. They want to do it based on category. You know, a million guy who makes $2 million, guy who makes $4 million.
Right, and what owners are going to tell you, Wiggy, is that in your proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're throwing numbers out. I understand that. I'm not trying to jerk you around on that. Right. Under your proposal, they're going to say, well, we're still losing too much money. We can't afford that.
Well, guess what? You know, you're gonna lose some money. You're going to lose some money no matter what. Right, but you're a billionaire, so your haircut needs to be a little bit longer than mine. The Kansas City Royals, I just told you, sold for $1 billion. So I think you can maybe...
I'm guessing that it was under a different financial landscape.
That was last November. If they were selling now, Wiggy,
they're not getting $1 billion.
No, not right now, but guess what?
Well, it's different now.
I guarantee you in a year and a half, 2 years, if a baseball organization is sold, it'll be sold for a lot of money.
617-779-7937. We'll get right back to your calls. It's Dale and Keefe, Wiggy and Mutter here, and it's time to trend.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Dale and Keefe is on from 10 to 2.
That's why you get up in the morning.
Give me the ball and get out of the way.
On WEEI.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Wiggy and Mutter here, in for Rich today. And I know we're talking Mike Trout, not because we're picking on Mike Trout, by the way. Simply because, you know, he's the guy with the big ticket contract, and so he's the example we're using here. During the break, I was just reading a Forbes piece on Trout, which says all indications are he's very frugal with his money. He's got his home in California, obviously, and beyond that, all he owns besides that is what is described as a very modest home in his hometown in New Jersey. You know, he appears to like, you know, powerful SUV-type vehicles, but he's not out buying, you know, $500,000 Lambos or something.
Well, that's even worse because the frugal people, they don't want to give up nothing.
No, that's probably true.
They don't want to give up anything. So that's probably even worse that he's frugal because he's probably like, I'm not doing it. I ain't trying to give up nothing.
Brock's in Middleborough. Hey, Brock, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? I'm kind of on both sides of this in a way because I've done it before. It's very easy to be like, man, he's making 10 times what I'm making. What's the big deal? But what people got to realize is 95% of all people live, their life, their bills and the way they live is dictated by how much money they make. So in terms of, you know, maybe not Mike Trout because of what you just said in that article, but some of these big ticket, NBA, NFL, MLB players, how do we know that most of their expenses are, you know, taking care of their extended family because they're the only ones in a big family that makes anything over $100,000 or something like that? It's very
happens
easy
all the
to be
time.
Like,
you're right. It happens all the time.
It's very easy to be like, man, look at those people at the top of their mountain. If I can live off this much money, how come they can't? But again, if you were making twice what you were making, you would be living a totally different lifestyle than you are now. And right. It kind of scales up like that. So I understand what Wiggy's going through, and I mean, what he's talking about. But to tie it back to what the last caller said, I think at the end of the day, most of this should fall on the shoulders of the owners, in the same way that when you have a dispute in a business, it's not the employees that should be shouldering all the burden. It should be the employer, which obviously isn't the case. But in terms of fairness, it should be the people at the tippity top, the ones making the decisions, the ones signing the checks, that should be shouldering the biggest part of it. Because just because someone makes $10 million, $20 million, $30 million, it doesn't mean that they're living a $100,000 lifestyle and they just have a huge bank account. A lot of times
here's where I
supporting everyone that they know.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily the case with Mike Trout, but here's where I agree completely, where I think the billionaire owners catch a lot of crap from me and a lot of other people. Jeff Passan tweeted out yesterday, he said, just some rough math. Say there are 200 players in a minor league system. Paying each of these players $400 a week for June, July, and August is about $5,200 per player. To pay every minor leaguer in the Oakland A's organization would cost a little bit over $1 million. Owner John Fisher is worth an estimated $2 billion. The A's informed their minor league players yesterday they would not continue paying them $400 a week after the end of the month. Now, that's where the owner gets no sympathy. None. It would cost a little over $1 million to continue to pay your 200 minor leaguers for June, July, and August. And the guy who's worth an estimated $2 billion says, no, sorry, can't do that, guys.
There's two extremes. That's the owner who's in the extreme of you can't do that. And we had the Blake Snell as the player example where you can't be an idiot and bitch about, you know, getting the Ronin. That's it. There are bad guys on both sides of this. And the question will be, are they the only team? Because right now they're the only team. Other teams come out and say, we're going to pay our minor leaguers. The expectation is, Wiggy, there's not going to be a minor league season, so technically they don't have to pay these guys. But I think I'm with most people. They have the money to pay these minor leaguers who are working their asses off 6, 8, 10 months a year.
And we're talking $400.
It's nothing.
But that's the owners, right? We dealt with it here in Boston. With Bruins owner didn't want to pay his employees. Jeremy Jacobs didn't want to pay his employees for, you know, and so we think about how many times we sit here and we're like, really? You know, as much money as the franchise, the organization is worth, you don't want to pay. I don't know if it was his part-time employees or he didn't want to pay his whatever it was. You sit here and go, seriously? You know, when you're worth and you start to figure out, you start to look at some of these owners, if you can afford to buy a franchise that is worth $1 billion, how much you think you're worth?
Probably more than $1 billion.
Yeah. And it goes Scott's back. Exactly.
Sorry. Scott's on the cell. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Good afternoon, guys. So, Wiggy, you're kind of driving me up the wall when you keep on sticking on the $37 million. There's an old saying that I live by.
Mm-hmm.
Live within your means.
Hey, Scott.
I am not making millions of dollars.
Scott.
I've been lucky. Hold on, Wiggy.
Right?
I've been listening to you for 2.5 hours here. Just let me say what I got to say, and then I'll be done.
All right.
I don't make all the money that all these people are making. I've been lucky enough to be working throughout this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing just fine. I live within my means. I don't have a wicked expensive car. Like you said, Mike Trout, he doesn't have much. You have to live with it. Like, what's the old rule? You got to have 2 months of mortgage in the bank.
Right.
You got to have 3 months worth of bills in your bank. People want to go with society and want to look good for society. Forget what society says. Forget what society thinks about you. Do what's good for you and what works for you and your family.
Right. So, Scott, here's what I would say. Good for you. Somebody obviously, instilled this in you to live within your means and do this. But guess what? I don't know if you knew this. There are a lot of people out there. You know, whether they're millionaires, whether they're somebody who works minimum wage at any store, there are a lot of people out there that don't live within their means, and they live paycheck to paycheck. So you can't.
I know that. I'm also paying for them on welfare too.
Well, that's a different thing. We're not talking about that. You can't, just because you live within your means, you can't now say, okay, this is what this guy needs to do. He don't. And I'm not saying Mike Trout doesn't. I'm just using. No,
apparently he does. He's, you know, very
right,
frugal.
But,
from Dale, what
the
they,
point
what
I'm
I've
using
read.
Is that everybody instantly is like, oh, they make millions of dollars. They should have money. Like they live in a world where they've never seen millionaires go broke.
No, and you're right. Antoine Walker here is an example of, you know, a guy who gambled away his fortune. I understand that there are those people. The point is simply that if you're making league minimum, not minimum wage, mm-hmm. but if you're making league minimum in Major League Baseball and you're making $546,000 and then you prorate that, now you're getting half of that. Well, nobody's suggesting that guy's rich. He ain't rich playing this game. Now, there are guys who are rich, but as we said earlier, 65% of the players in Major League Baseball make less than $1 million a year. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that the higher end guys should take a bigger haircut than the lower end guys.
Okay, and I'm fine with that, but that number has to be something that's far more feasible in the sense of, all right, you want me to take 15%? I'll do it.
Yeah, and then the owners 16. Would say, we're going to lose our shirts if you only take a 15% pay cut.
And then well, that's where the trust.
There's got to be a better ratio. Right. That's the one thing Wiggy and I agree on. There's the right now it's too of an extreme. Like we keep saying 80%. It's really when you factor in it's only half the season. It's Mike Trout taking a 68% pay cut.
Right.
For my
that's
math
ridiculous.
Here. Here's the issue, which we haven't talked about yet. If enough of those guys do that, okay, and it feel like they're getting the raw end of the deal. If the star players decide not to come back, the rest of the league's going to fall in line, and the thing's going to fall apart. That's why it's a weird place for the owners to start, knowing that they're going to piss off some of the loudest names and the most popular names in the sport. Because what this has done for me, I'm speaking for myself here, I've been killing the players for 2 weeks, 3 weeks on this, and how they're greedy, they can't get out of their own way, they're making a huge mistake. Well, I see the number today, 68% pay cut for one of your most talented guys, and I go, okay, well, now I start to see why Tony Clark and these players have been saying for 2 weeks now, we're not getting a fair deal because I could see some of the numbers not being fair. So this is where they've got to find a compromise. Right. For the better of the sport long term, they got to find a compromise in the middle or risk becoming, if not completely irrelevant, outside that big four.
Don't you think, Mutt, that's what's going on this week, is that negotiation? It's like you're going to buy a house and you go in and offer a lot less than you know you'll actually pay, and he's asking more than he knows that he'll actually charge you. Isn't that what this
is?
But this is the opening salvo of the negotiation.
Right, but why are we doing this? We should, we've had plenty of time to do this dance, right?
So
we shouldn't be at the position now where it's, with Mike Trout where, 68%. And I think no matter what sport it was, if this was the beginning of the NHL season or the NFL season or NBA, you think players would agree to taking 68% haircuts, especially at the top of the LeBron James or the Alexander Ovechkins, the guys that are at the top of the league?
Well, can you guys believe we've known since March 12th that sports has been on a pause. Baseball was in spring training at that point. And now we're at the end of May, past Memorial Day, and they're just doing this dance now. That's an embarrassing part of this negotiation that, like, they're not far enough along to have had these conversations where they trust each other so little that it's Memorial Day week, the week after, before we get to the money part, which we always thought was going to be the hardest part. Right. Like, that speaks to just a breakdown of communication that both sides don't recognize.
Right.
Important it is to come
But
back.
It's the greedy owners that are the ones that I think ultimately started, right? They started because they're the ones that come out with the proposal. They're the ones who wanted to change up the agreement that they initially made in the beginning. It's always seems, and they're the ones that's, you think if we'd be in the situation if they said, okay, our top players are going to take a 15% pay cut. I don't think the players would be tripping about that. But when you see the numbers for the guys that are in the Mike Trout category, I mean, you think guys are really going to be like,
no. And I think it's just, you're right. The numbers are extreme, but the other extreme part of it is like, so maybe you're right. The owners, why did the owners wait so long to start the negotiation? Do the players feel like they did that because the owners are trying to play hardball here and they feel like, well, if we wait till the last minute, the players will get nervous and have to take the deal we present them, mm-hmm. then we'll get it done. Because this should have happened I don't know. I won't say 2 months ago, because who knew 2 months ago? I mean, Wiggy and I were saying sports were back on tax day. Okay, so we're a little bit off base on that. But to negotiate now, when they have what's the window now to come back and make sure you get in 80 games?
It's sure closing quickly. Isn't
2 weeks? Like 2 weeks to negotiate? And I'm with you. There'll be a negotiation, but there's so much animosity there. You waited till the fourth quarter, 2 minute warning, to try to get your sport back, and you need it the most. That's just dumb. Dumb.
I don't disagree with that a bit. Steve's in Winchester. Hey, Steve.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
What's going
Listen,
on?
I know it's not going to solve the problem worldwide, but when is a contract going to be a contract anymore? Nothing ever sticks. There's always a loophole. These guys, they want to pay the big money. They want to hunt down the big player. You know what? They should just say, we asked you. You don't want to take a cut. No problem. But from now on, there is no more Mike Trout contracts. You guys did that to yourself. We asked you to help us out. You said no, so we can't take those risks now. We can't be paying the guy $37 million a year. There's got to be some unity between them all. Pay them. You took a shot. Now see what happens. And then they get
accused of colluding, and it probably would be. If owners said, well, we're not doing that anymore. So one owner says, well, wait a minute, I'll do it.
What they're saying about unity.
There has to be some unity.
Steve, the only way you get it is when the new CBA comes rolling around. We see it in the NFL all the time, and the reason why a lot of NFL players get the short end of the stick because they're not willing to say, you know what, we're not playing. We'll have a lockout. We'll strike. And the owners now, when the new CBA comes rolling around, if they're in a position where they can say, you know what, we're not going to do it. We'll deal with the lockout. We'll deal with not having a season. That's the only way you really get stuff done.
I mean, the other thing, and we've talked about this, we're talking about the only sport of the four major sports that doesn't have a salary cap,
mm-hmm.
has guaranteed contracts, yep. as basketball and hockey do. Unlike the NFL, I mean, if you want to talk about the short end of the stick, the NFL not only has a salary cap, but most of their contracts aren't guaranteed.
Well, that's because the union is so strong in Major League Baseball. Give them credit. You know, the reason why they are in the position that they're in right now where they can, you know, say we don't want to do this is because the union's so strong.
Well, it's why the fans are more supportive, you know, universally, I think, of guys in the NFL because their contracts, Wiggy, are most similar to most of our audience, right? You don't perform – You don't get paid, you might get cut. In Major League Baseball, the reason why Blake Snell and these guys come across so poorly is that they're fully guaranteed. And if you're what's his name, Chris Davis in Baltimore, and you sign a billion-dollar deal, and all of a sudden you're striking out 200 times a year and hitting 211, you're still getting paid that money. Whereas in the NFL, you don't perform, guess what? You're cut.
See you later.
You're traded or cut.
In the NFL.
It's impossible to even picture it, but if Mike Trout suddenly became a 200 hitter at 19 home runs a year, he ain't giving any of that back.
Right, or I guarantee you what, the Angels are not going to him and going, hey, Mike, I know we said we're going to pay you $37 million. Any chance that you might be able to restructure your deal? That ain't happening. I mean,
not going to happen.
But that's why I give Major League Baseball credit, the Players Association, because they have the strongest union.
It's a union jealousy. You're jealous of the clout they have.
I mean, they do an amazing job.
He was a member of the worst union ever.
And they do an amazing job for their retired players. So all you could do is give them credit. And because they have such a great union, now players will go, you know what, you get your Blake Snells who go, I'm not doing it.
Andrew's down on the Cape. Hey, Andrew.
Wow. Ooh, right. Like this.
Kind of lean, mean, and bluesy.
This is a story all about how.
Hey, somebody's waiting on hold to speak with somebody at TD Bank.
Now, if I put you on hold, you don't hear music on my phone.
I missed that. It must be an app or something.
You have to pay for it. I think it's hold. Well, I know it's not a hold. Well, I know some people have a music when you call them. Like
that's like an app.
Please wait while. No, I think it's a pay for thing, right? You have to pay an extra premium to have music playing when someone calls you. They hear that instead of a ring.
Wow!
I didn't know that.
I've had it. I won't say yes. I will. When I call Dave O'Brien, I hear, you know, please listen to this song while we connect you. And while they're ringing Dave O'Brien, I hear music. But that's different than what we just heard, right?
Yeah, that was
on hold.
I'm calling Rocket Mortgage for a refi. That's what that sounds like right there. What's the percentage point going to be? What's this guy going
to
say?
Welcome to Rocket Mortgage. We're here to help you with all your needs right now. Please hold for a few minutes. Choose from
your
classic
wait time
jazz.
Is 99 minutes. Right. Please hold.
Oh, I have to admit,
too urban contemporary.
Because I'm home more often, you know, and I don't normally answer those spam calls that you get. But every once in a while, just for the fun of it, my favorite lately is, and I got like three of them in like a week. Can I speak to the person in charge of your electrical bills? And I just say, no.
That's why.
Then they don't know what to say after that.
That's why I
got. Then it's like, well, yeah, but.
You need AT&T, Dale, because then it comes up as spam call, so you don't even have to answer it.
Oh, no, I knew it was. Oh. You know, every once in a while, don't you get bored and answer those?
I don't answer them.
That sounds lonely if you're answering those calls, Dale. We didn't get you out of the basement. You're answering these calls.
I don't answer numbers that I don't recognize. So, you know, forget about a spam call.
Oh, I don't, because I'm to be a bill collector. I'm like, no.
I don't answer any number that I don't recognize.
Home. It's bookie.
Yes. Not home today. Whoa.
Yeah.
But as soon as you give them an answer like that, they don't, their script gets screwed. Like, they've got their script in front of them, and as soon as I go, no, then it's like this silence. And
yeah.
And then they hang up on you.
Yeah, I don't. Don't even answer it. I don't even waste time.
Add it to block or ignore numbers and move on.
Josh is in New Hampshire. Hey, Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for not having music playing, Josh. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, guys. Yeah, just a comment really quick. I mean, you guys are just covering it pretty good. You know, I know there's a lot of, you know, confrontation out there with owners, players, fans. Everyone's got something to say. But, you know, in the end, my opinion is that these owners should be taking a little more responsibility than they are. I mean, they waited until the last minute. You had a really good reference, fourth quarter, 2 minute warning. You know, you can't expect these guys to be in the position that they're in, like either play for this or don't play at all. You know, I don't think that's very fair. That's just my opinion. I think that for the sport and for all the fans, you know, and the players that want, you know, just, you got to come to some sort of, you know, compromise, and it can't be at the expense of all these players taking, you know, ridiculous pay cuts. And, you know, just one other thing there, you mentioned the robo collars. I mess with them too, except the ones that I get usually ask for information and they're totally fake. I ask if they want my social and blood type.
I had the one too, the robocaller one time, and it's in the Middle Eastern accent, the heavy Middle Eastern accent, mm-hmm. and saying that I am subject to arrest if I don't do this and this and this, and I'll say, hold on just a second here, and then I say, oh, thanks, I was just recording this, I just want to make sure I have this to send to my local police department. Mm-hmm. They hang up then too.
I do the Jerry Seinfeld when they call up. I say, hey, let me get your number, I'll call you right back, I'm busy.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, do that. Call him at, can you just give me your number so I can give you a call at dinner time?
Yeah, I'll give you a call back. You want to ask me about my solar panels?
Hey, listen, those can save you some money, Wiggs. I got a deal. I can get
I do have the solar panels, but I'm just saying when they call and they want you to go, it's like, hey, let me get your number. I'll call you back in about 20 minutes.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keith, Wiggy and Mudd in the House, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting sick of your self-isolated quarantine?
Out.
Head to Dale's house. He'll make you feel good again.
Want to get a tattoo? No problem. Massage? We got you. Got to get your hair done? Have at it.
It's Dale and Keith.
Making you feel good.
On EEI.
So you guys have probably noticed that because there are many, many more people who are staying home, not out and about, cars, you know, the traffic isn't as bad, although it's ticking back up from what I understand, that as best I can tell, the animals are taking over the world. Like, we have turkeys in our backyard every single day now. That, like, they won't leave. They were waking me up at 5:30 in the morning yesterday. Oh, yeah. I mentioned that for the first time ever that I've lived here, I saw a Fisher cat in my backyard. I've seen it a couple of times now. By the way, scary looking little animal. I'm told that they won't come after you. You know, they kind of avoid human beings and everything. But they do make noises, don't they?
It's loud. Yeah, it's a scary screech they make. Yeah.
Right. So, as I understand it, some of us have chipmunk and squirrel infestations that they have to deal with.
Squirrels getting in my trash can. I'm about to go get a 30-06 and start picking these in.
That's way overkill.
No, the squirrel.
A 30-06 for a squirrel.
Well, maybe I get a little bit. Yeah, I want to send a message, Dale. I want to send a message to the squirrel community because they'll chew through my trash can and then climbing in the trash can and, you know, and that kind of thing. So it's like this is the second one they destroyed.
So they have trash bags that are repellent. They say that, like, you can buy special trash bags at the hardware store that I go to that say they are squirrel and sort of bug repellent.
Did not know that.
So you're having chipmunks. I'm having the squirrel. You're having squirrels. I'm having chipmunk issues. There are chipmunks running in and out of my garage, and I believe there's a huge nest of chipmunks in my garage and under my house. So I went and bought mothballs. Apparently, they're supposed to. The smell of the mothballs keeps them away.
My wife is convinced of that. My whole garage smells like mothballs.
Does it work though?
I'll find out because I also have a trap. And if this doesn't work, we're gonna take some extreme measures.
Right.
We're gonna
get a 30-06, man. I'm telling you,
it's gonna
way
get
extreme.
Send
a message to the
vaporize a squirrel with a 30-06.
It's about sending a message to the rest of the community to stay away from my damn trash cans.
But what's the humane way to get rid of chipmunks and squirrels? Like, I think it's illegal to move them around. So I don't think I can trap them and bring them somewhere else. I believe it's illegal in our state.
I did that with a raccoon in my yard.
You broke the law. Arrest this man. I knew I did.
I got one of those have a heart traps. And this raccoon, like you said, was under my deck. It wouldn't leave the yard alone, trash cans all. So I did trap him. I was living in Rentham at the time. I drove him up to Joe's Rock, the little conservation area near where I lived. And I let him go. Go, be free, little raccoon, be free.
He came right back.
He probably did.
Right. No, a couple miles away, they'll be fine. But I think people understand if you go to a wooded area with no homes, it's not that big of a deal. I want to do that. I don't want to go. I don't want to get gruesome here. I don't want to kill chipmunks.
Might
okay?
be the only way you could. Might be the only
I
way.
Don't do that.
Sending a message.
Might be the only thing you could do, man. I'm telling you, man. I didn't even know squirrels like getting in the trash cans. It's like new for me.
Well, they like eating, don't they?
No, I know that, but I never had an issue before, and all of a sudden I got this squirrel issue, and they won't leave my.
Well, that is definitely a part of whatever this lack of travel thing and people being home. Whether it's the Dale's
squirrel,
there's more birds than ever. Maybe because I'm home more, I notice it. But walk outside, it sounds like a bird sanctuary every freaking day. So something's going on here.
And I have one of them 64-gallon you know, heavy duty plastic with the wheels on it, trash can,
and they're still chewing through it.
Yeah,
chew through the trash can.
Yeah, they like.
You might have a raccoon, Wiggs.
No,
that might not be a squirrel. It might be a raccoon.
No, because I see it's a squirrel, man. I'm telling you.
Have you ever opened up the hood of your car and found like the little acorns and stuff inside the engine block, where the squirrel or the chipmunk has decided? Yeah, I'll eat up here. That's good.
And I have no problem with, living with the squirrels. As long as you stay to your trees, there's plenty of trees that you can deal with. Just stay away from, now you're in my trash cans. Now it's time to send the message.
Now it's war.
It's sending a message to the squirrel community.
You're in
Quickie's
the garage.
Suddenly going Call of Duty on the squirrels.
Damn right.
You have to. You have to send a message that these squirrels and chipmunks, Wiggy, they're not in charge. We're in charge.
Right.
We're human beings.
I can live peacefully with them as long as they stay out of my trash cans. But once they do that, now it's time to send the message to the rest of the squirrel community. And that's why I plan on going out and get a 30-06 with a nice
scope. Well, the gun shops are back open. So
yes.
You're good. Gun shops are
They're essential.
Yes.
So I've already admitted to you guys that I fought the law and the law won. So when I caught this raccoon in my have a heart trap and took him up to Joe's Rock and let him be free into the wilderness, what exactly am I doing that's breaking the law? What am I supposed to do with this raccoon? Just let him take over the house?
Well, as somebody who was reading the website today, Dale, it's not what you're doing to it's what you're doing to the area you're dropping it off. Like you're, if you're dropping off an animal in an area he doesn't know,
in your neighbor's backyard, that's not a good thing.
That it could he might then get hit by a car as he's trying to go somewhere else. A whole list of reasons the state suggests you cannot move. In fact, there's on the mass.gov website that I was looking at earlier. Where it's illegal to move these things.
Is it free if I call them to come out and take care of my squirrel problem?
I think you have to pay someone to do that.
Well, then there you go. I'll do it on myself.
30-06.
I'll booby trap my damn trash can.
Here are some things you can't. Here are some reasons why you shouldn't move wildlife, Dale. Right?
Okay. Good.
The animal may get hit by a vehicle while traveling back home.
It's my home. It's not his home.
The animal will struggle to find food, water, and shelter in a new area, possible leading to death. Okay,
oh, that's sad.
The area may be home to members of the same species. They will not welcome in the newcomer. That's not nice. That's bullying. Let the new raccoon in. If the animal is diseased, Dale, it may spread that disease to other animals. You could disrupt certain ecological processes by moving wildlife away.
Dale moves a damn raccoon. Next thing you know, we got another COVID outbreak.
Yes, exactly.
That's how Lyme disease started. They were moving deer from northern Minnesota to like Connecticut or something, and it brought Lyme disease to New England.
Yeah, true. The ticks are ridiculous.
I think that's true. Don't look it up, but I think it's true.
Don't check it. Just go with it.
This is the last one here. Mass law prohibits the capture and relocation of wildlife off your property. This law has been in effect for many years. It is meant to keep both wildlife and people safe.
Can you kill them, though? Is that against the law?
I think that's worse, Wig. Just going to
say that. You got all these extremes where you can't move them. If they're on my property, does it then become stand your ground?
I'm trying to see here. Oh, they do list it. Let me see here.
I think stand your ground applies here.
Is stand your ground apply here?
I think it does.
There's a link to something called a problem animal control agent, a PAC agent.
Mm-hmm.
You can reach out to them to solve your wildlife problem, but doesn't say if it costs money.
So a couple of years ago, Susan and I were up in Maine, visiting family, and I came back a few days before she did. And she said, you know, when you get home, can you just put some water on my flowers for me? And I go out back here, and she has like this netting to keep the birds out of her flowers and her garden and all that stuff. And there is a 6-foot black racer snake ensnared in the netting. Now it's alive. It scared the crap out of me.
Right.
And so now, I called the town animal control officer and they say to me, oh, there's nothing we can do. I said, well, wait a minute. What am I supposed to do? Well, you got to figure it out on your own. So I did. I took a shovel and cut its head off.
There you go.
What am I supposed to do?
Try to disentangle it
from the net?
Nope. You did the right thing, bro.
I would
have said a machete, but if you have a nice metal shovel around, that works too.
Just call Keith.
I could have called Keith. I could have come over with his sword.
But a metal shovel gets the job done. Does he have one of them good, like, construction metal shovels?
Oh, with the shrill, sharp curve at the edge there.
That's what I use. Am I supposed to try to disentangle this 6-foot black racer snake from the netting around my wife's little flower garden here?
Nope. Not unless you want to get
bit.
No. Ugh. So we're back to square one. Are we supposed to kill the squirrels and chipmunks or move them around? Apparently, they'd rather I just kill them. I need like a BB gun.
Yes.
Or a little gun.
30-06. Send the message.
Will paintball gun do that?
No, they'd
scoff at paintball.
You're going to need a high powered BB gun.
Well, you don't need a 30-06.
All right, maybe like a 22 rifle.
Hold on, let's get some expert opinion. Justin's in Rhode Island. Hey, Justin.
Oh, good.
How you guys doing? So the squirrels, you can call a wildlife operator. You can trap them yourself. They're pretty tough. The chipmunks, you can definitely get some bait for them. Or the more sinister thing that I've been seeing is homeowners will... They'll get a 5-gallon bucket and fill it with some water and seeds and then make a little ramp up to the bucket.
Really? I've seen that.
And I've been seeing a lot of floating chipmunk bodies.
Is there really pet repellent, insect or squirrel repellent trash bags?
I wouldn't believe any of that stuff. Also, the mothball thing, definitely a no-go.
Doesn't work.
Is that an old wife? Because literally, my wife has spread mothballs all around her little garden outside my window here. She's convinced this is going to keep me away.
Better than, it's not going to work.
I think it's a myth there. I think it's like, man. You know, they said you could do that with lime and snakes. You spread lime around your house, and that's supposed to put up a barrier to keep snakes, but I don't know how much that really works.
Can someone Simon's tweet me a link to this chipmunk drowning thing? If it's illegal to trap them, I need another way. There are dozens of them in the garage under the house.
YouTube,
so what would you like me to do?
Go on YouTube.
I'll go on YouTube. Let me see. How
Simon's in New Hampshire. Hey, Simon.
Chipmunks drowning.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
What's going on?
So I am having the chipmunk Armageddon. Do you remember like 2 years ago there was a squirrel Armageddon and there was just hundreds of dead squirrels on the road?
Yes.
It's like the same thing is happening in my backyard with chipmunks, to Mutt's point. I'm going out in the backyard and they're just running around my ankle. So I'm just going to tell you real quick the 5 things I tried and none of it has worked.
Oh, 5.
Okay. Oh, good.
So, 5 steps. Mothballs, put them down the hole. The next morning, they're just throwing them back out onto the lawn.
They're laughing at you.
Mothballs don't work.
Yeah. Okay, waste of $5. Yep.
So then, trying to be, you know, friendly here, I find this pellet that you can put around your house. It's supposed to scare them away with essential oil. I put that around my house. They were the next morning just like dancing in it. It was ridiculous. The third thing, do you know the traditional mouse trap? They have these ones that are, like, on steroids, like, 3 times the size of the traditional mouse trap, but the same idea, to catch rats.
Mm-hmm.
So I got 3 of those, stuck them out overnight. The next morning, 2 of them had gone off, and they had licked the peanut butter off. And the third one, I had literally caught a mouse and decapitated it, which I felt bad about.
God, then you got to do something with it.
Well, so lastly, I went on Amazon and I put them in today. Have you guys seen these, you know, lawn lights you stick in the ground and the sun, heats them up and they light up all night? This is a sonar that's supposed to put off a vibration and scare away the chipmunks. So I put them up this morning, so we'll see. But I'm going to be putting in a new lawn in about a month and I'm just, scared these chipmunks are just going to chew it all up.
Oh, so, let me suggest a website. Let me suggest a website, sir. So I just found this.
Yeah.
Petstrategies.com.
Mm-hmm.
Top 5 best chipmunk traps.
30-06, number 1.
Right here.
No,
what's that?
Wiggy, you don't need a 30-06. First of all, I don't think you're that good a shot. A shotgun, you can do it because it's got kind of a wide range. A 30-06, you got to be really good with.
Yeah, I'm actually a really good shot, Dale.
Oh, look at these.
All that Call of Duty.
Chipmunk?
No, in real life shooting. I go to the shooting range
all
the time.
Not Call of Duty.
No.
There's not a lot of master.
And then I have 2 teenage boys, so I say, hey, listen, whoever can bring home the most.
Go chase this around. Hopefully I won't hit you when I'm shooting at the chipmunk.
Whoever brings home the most dead squirrels tonight gets $50.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keith, and we're finding solutions for life problems with Mutt and Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.